Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
On the issue of marriage, I think marriage should be between a single man and a single woman, and that the federal government shouldn't be involved. I want less government involvement. I don't want the federal government having a marriage police. I want the states to deal with it if they have to, if they need to. But if you didn't even need the states, really, why do we have to have a license to get married? Why don't we just go to the church? And what other individuals do, why can't we permit them to do it? Whatever they call it, that's their problem, not mine. Just so nobody else forces their definition of marriage on you. That is what we have to prevent.
That's Ron Paul speaking recently on, I guess you could call this his argument for privatizing marriage. It's been heard not only from him, but from others as well, and it sounds at first like a really good solution. It just completely depolarizes the whole debate. Suddenly, there's nothing to talk about when it comes to marriage because the state should stay out of it. It should be an entirely private matter. It should be a matter that the church deals with insofar as it wants to deal with it in individuals. And whose business is it? After all, especially the state's business. Joining us to talk about privatizing marriage, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Happy New Year.
To you as well. I understand you are composing an open letter to Ron Paul responding to the privatize marriage movement.
Yes. What he just said has become kind of a mantra among a lot of people, and it really has to be dealt with. I mean, I personally have some libertarian inclinations myself, you know, and so I can kind of see the appeal of it. But honestly, it doesn't work. You know, if you really think about what marriage is, what it's supposed to do, what its social purpose is, you will see that it needs to be, there needs to be a public aspect to the institution of marriage. And it's perfectly true. You're going to leave individuals to do what they want in their homes and to think about it how they want to think about it and so on. But that doesn't mean that you can wipe away the public institution of marriage and the legal machinery, if you will, that supports and sustains the institution of marriage. Sooner or later, you have to come down to the question of what is marriage and why do we need it? And if you don't answer that question, you're going to be saying things like what Ron Paul just said that actually don't make any sense.
Why doesn't it make any sense? Take it apart for us, because many people are relieved to hear a privatizing argument.
Right. And the reason people are relieved to hear the privatizing argument is because people don't want to get into this ugly fight about what marriage is and whether it should be defined as the union of any two persons, which is the only thing that's going to make the gay lobby happy. So people think that by privatizing it, they can avoid the whole fight. And since the fight is so nasty, you know, people would like an excuse just to back out of it. But the reason it doesn't work, Todd, is that marriage does have a public purpose. In spite of all the private things, you know, and all the individual things and all of the unique things that every married couple does, the essential public purpose of marriage is to attach mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. So when you and Mrs. Wilkins have a baby, when Mrs. Wilkins has a baby, the law says that because you are married to her, you are presumed to be the father of any children she gives birth to. And what that means, Todd, is that you and Mrs. Wilkins are the parents, the legally recognized parents of those children, and no one else is. All other comers are disclaimed and cannot participate in the parenting of those children. That function of defining who counts as the parent, that is an intrinsically public purpose. And you can't privatize that, because if you and another person make a deal and some third party wanders up and says, well, I think I get in on this deal of having a child and I have parental rights with respect to this child, well, how are you going to resolve that dispute? I'll tell you how you resolve that dispute. You will go to the state. You will go to the government. You will go to some ultimate binding legal authority, namely the government, and they will decide whether that third party has any rights or not. So in the end, the government's going to be involved. What looks like a privatization move really can't be sustained as a privatization move. In other words, it looks like you're privatizing it on the front end by saying people get to do whatever they want going in. But when things start to break down, on the back end, you will be bringing the government back in through the back door. And I think that's just a crazy way of doing things. Far better to own up front what you think marriage is, what it's about, and in that way, the government will end up having less involvement than if you have to bring them in the back end like that.
How do you respond to probably what's the most appealing thing to many in Ron Paul's argument, and that is he begins by saying, well, I think marriage should be between a single man and a single woman. Boom, he has everybody pro-marriage on his side. But then it sounds like he contradicts himself, saying, I really think that marriage is whatever anyone thinks it, any two individuals think it ought to be, at least legally. How do you respond to that?
Well, let's put it this way. If I were to say, you know, Ron Paul, you value the institution of private property. And you know, Ron, there are a lot of people out here who don't believe in private property. They think it's all a plot by rich people and so on and so forth. What I think we should do, Representative Paul, what I think we should do is we should privatize the whole private property system. If you bunch of rich people and capitalists and, you know, mean, heartless people, if you guys want to have a private property system, that's fine. Just keep us out of it. Keep the government out of it. You pay for it yourself. You enforce it yourself. You come up with those norms yourself. If an anarchist were to talk to you like that, or an Occupy person were to talk to you like that, you would see at once that this was not a serious compromise. This is a demand that you completely capitulate, right? And that there be no system of private property at all, except what people themselves could sustain. That will be the consequence of what he's advocating. I don't think he realizes that. But that's what the consequence will be, is that there won't be any institutional structure for marriage at all by the time these guys get done with it. And I think the reason that's appealing, Todd, is because so many people go into marriage or look at marriage as if it only has to do with adults and adult friendship, basically. And if all it has to do with is adult friendship, well, then it kind of doesn't matter very much what people do. You know, then what's the big deal? But the fact is, no matter how many childless married couples there are floating around, you still have this important social job to do, which is to deal with the children and to attach children to their parents. That still has to get done. And that's the part that can't be privatized, and that's the part that does indeed have a compelling public purpose surrounding it. And the state needs to be involved in it to keep order amongst all of these people who may have different and competing claims.
With only about a minute and a half before we close up, haven't we really been in some form or another fighting a privatizing movement with regard to marriage for about three or four decades, namely no-fault divorce? Wasn't that the result of a privatizing argument?
I agree with you absolutely. And you know, for a guy like Ron Paul, who doesn't like the government fooling around with the private sector, I would put this question to him. The government, through no-fault divorce, comes in and favors the party to the marriage who is the least committed. That is, no-fault divorce says we will come into any dispute on the side of the party that is least committed to the marriage. Are you seriously telling me that's not the government playing favorites with somebody? Of course it is. The government for about 40 years has been trying to break down the family into nothing more than a collection of individuals. And no-fault divorce, you're correct to point to that as a very significant development in that trend. But if the family is nothing more than a collection of individuals, then you've got the individual by him or herself facing the state on their own. This is precisely what the lifestyle left has been angling for all along. Children being raised by the collective in some way, loose attachments between adults, very loose attachments between children and parents, and no real connection or communion of persons apart from your relationship with the state. That's where this ship has been going for some time. And that's why marriage has to go away, because marriage is in the way of creating this brave new collectivist world. Your connections inside the marriage and inside the home are far more powerful and valuable to you than anything Big Brother's ever going to be able to come up with. And so that's why collectivists of all stripes have always attacked the family. And people like Ron Paul evidently don't realize that or don't see that. They think of the free societies having to do with contracts in the free market, and they don't get that kinship and the family are just as significant a part of it as anything that goes on in the market.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to conclude a series that we began last week, 1 week ago today, in fact, a five-part series on Christian vocation. We have been through bishops, pastors, preachers, their people, civil authorities and citizens, employees and employers, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and children. I think that's the complete list so far in the four parts of these series. In the last part, we're going to talk about one that you won't hear about unless you open the pages of the New Testament. Most people don't think of this as a Christian vocation, but without a doubt, St. Paul singles out widows, and I think we could say by extension, widowers, those who have lost their spouse through death, as a distinct Christian vocation in the church. We'll also talk about the vocation of the young and everyone else. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy with part 5 of our 5-part series on Christian vocation in hour 2 of Issues, etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.